Let's turn in God's Word to Deuteronomy and chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you're looking at the very beginning of your Bibles, it is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. And in chapter 7, we will begin reading in verse 1. And we'll read through verse 26, the whole chapter. And beginning in verse 1, remember that these are the words of the Lord, so give your full attention to them. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and mercy and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock, and the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Also you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. But you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm, by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeats upon them until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Those are the words of the Lord. This chapter really details for us and shows forth the doctrine of election of God's people. You see that in the distinction from the other nations that they are going into the land, the promised land, to destroy it in verses 6 through 8, how the Lord chose them, particularly them, to be a holy people. Not the nations, not anybody else. He chose them to be a holy people. And as a holy people going into the land, the Lord instructs them to be holy. They're to be holy, so be holy. And because they're chosen, they're elect, therefore they are to be holy as the Lord is holy. So he gives them then his commandments. In verse 11, you see the command. It says, therefore you shall keep the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And very clearly, they're commanded to not spare any of the nations that they're going into that land. With all those nations that are in the land, the promised land, they are to destroy all of them. To remember this, they are not, verses 3 through 4, to intermarry with them. That is, don't go into the land and marry any of them. Whether it's your sons or your daughters, don't marry them. Don't allow your children to be married to them. Because what happens, we've learned before, even in Chronicles in the evening, we have learned in Genesis why the flood came. Because they intermarried with the daughters of men, that is, the sinners, the godless people. It will lead you to idolatry. It always leads to idolatry. And so they must destroy all the peoples, not marry any of them, and destroy all their idols, all their images, all their altars of worship, all false worship must be done away with and destroyed. Lest they become like them, like the nations, and break covenant with the Lord. So Israel, when they enter the land, they must not be afraid of the nations as well. Verse 21, it says, why? You shall not be terrified of them, for, because the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. Why would you be afraid of them when God is with you? There's no reason to be afraid, because the Lord would go before you, before Israel, into the land, and he would drive the nations out and destroy them. You see that at Jericho. What did the people do? It's not the people that destroyed the people of Jericho. It's God. And so, beloved, in this life there are many things we are tempted to fear. But the Lord Jesus said in Luke 12, he said, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And there's only one who has the authority to cast into hell, and that's the Lord. And so fear the Lord, beloved. Do not fear man. Tremble at the footstool of the Lord, even now as we come before him in worship. And yet for the people of God, those who are of the people of God, come boldly to the throne. He says, be fearing and trembling in that reverence before the Lord, but at the same time, come boldly to the throne. Because he receives us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his own Son. And by his grace invites you to come unto him and live for him and worship him. We are not to worship false gods like the nations, but we are to worship him because we ought to fear him. He is a holy God. Let's pray. Our Father, as we consider your word this morning in Deuteronomy 7, we're thankful that it's not just for the people of Israel and old as they entered the promised land. It is for us and teaches us many things, a few things at least, that we are to fear you alone. And we cannot fear man. We need not fear even the devil himself. Because you are our God, who is not only good and merciful and awesome, but you are holy and you are just, perfectly just. We often think in this world of justice, especially in our modern day, but you are perfectly and infinitely just in all your dealings with man and creatures. Father, we come to worship you. And so may all of our idols and images that we make up and come up with, may we turn from them and destroy them, that we would not worship you falsely. There is, because we are a sinful people, there is probably in our worship today some aspect that is false. Maybe more than one aspect, maybe many, but at least in our hearts there is, and we acknowledge that. Father, turn us from our sin and idolatry in our hearts to you, the living and true God, to hear your word today, to believe your word exactly as you say it, no matter what our experience or experiences are. Lord, when you say what you say, knowing that you are the God of truth, may we believe it as truth. And may we then follow after you. May we not turn to the gods of this world, to money, or to pleasure, or to even worshiping, or worshiping family, worshiping our work, worshiping our free time, worshiping even that free time that we think that we have on this, the Lord's Day. This is your day. And you give us 6 days to work and to enjoy the creation and all that you've given to us, even to have fun and to be entertained by each other, even as we meet together in fellowship with one another at times. You've given, though, this day to guard our hearts, to rest our hearts, our minds, our wills, our affections, everything on you. And that's for our good, that we would not be slaves of this world or slaves to our sin. And so, Father, purify us and cleanse us, even this day as we rest in you. May you turn us from our sins that we've committed. We have not kept your law, your statutes, your judgments, your commandments. We've turned from them as we've saying about in the last psalm, and also as we've read in Deuteronomy 7. Father, forgive us of our sins. We come confessing them, but you do not require mere confession, but also you require repentance, turning from our sin and turning unto you. And this we cannot do but by your Holy Spirit who works in us. And some here perhaps who do not know you at all, who've professed faith, perhaps even, who've been come into the church, and yet have turned away from you, who have put on a show and lied. Father, convict them of their sin and turn them to the only Savior of God's elect, Jesus Christ, the Savior. He's our Savior. He's the Savior you've given to us, and it is only under His name, by His name alone, that we might be saved. We cannot be saved by anything else but Him and His righteousness, His death. And so, Father, we ask that you would turn us from our sins today unto Him, even as believers, that we would keep coming back to Christ, the gospel and His righteousness that is for us. Move us by your Holy Spirit to do so, for we are weak, but you are strong, and your grace is sufficient. And Father, we do ask that you would not only help us spiritually and encourage us in Christ today and turn us from our sins, but that you would help us in our bodies and strengthen us, that we would serve you, that we would be honoring in our bodies to you, for we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Father, may we not turn to the flesh, but even those in our bodies that need healing, heal. And so we pray for Oliver and Ezekiel, and we keep praying for Jeannie and Larry and Lillian. You would keep them, also Michelle. You would help your children, your people, with the struggles, even my wife Dina, with the struggles we have in our bodies. We ask that you would use them for your glory. We ought not to complain about our illnesses or our struggles in body, for they are brought in your great providence, your good providence, hard providence, by you, for our good. For you say you work all things together for our good, to show us of how much we need you, that even in our sufferings, by going through them, we might help others and encourage others in Christ. And so, Father, if it is your will in this life to be healed, heal them. If it is not, that you would heal them at the right time for your glory. And then, Father, as you call us to pray for our kings and rulers and authority, we pray today for our rulers, our governing authorities, from the local level to the all the way up to the federal level. We ask that you would turn them and their wickedness to yourself in Christ. You would save them, for you desire all types of people to be saved, even kings and rulers and authority. And that's why we pray. But not only that we pray for their salvation, we pray that they would rule according to your word, that they would bow the knee to Jesus Christ, who is the Prince and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that they must bow to him because Christ is on the throne, just as we must bow. And so, Father, we ask that you would be merciful to our leaders in our government. But Father, if it be not your will, we know that your plan is that they perish. That's what you say in Psalm 2. And that is grieving to us. Father, may you save them, if that be your will. Father, we pray the same thing for our children. You would turn them to yourself. You would give them saving faith, true faith, even those still in the womb, like here Levi. May you be exalted through their lives. And may you, as we continue in our worship, keep us from idols, keep us from worshiping falsely. Your name may be glorified. And where we worship, we ask that you would perfect our worship through your Son Jesus Christ, our mediator, who sits on the throne and who is King. Receive our worship for his sake, for we pray in his name. Amen.